Lecture topic, Are We Facing a Tsunami? Part 1.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإن كان أصحاب الأيكة لظالمين فانتقمنا منهم وإنهما لبإمام مبين وقال تعالى فأخذهم عذاب يوم الظلة إنه كان عذاب يوم عظيم إن في ذلك لآية وما كان أكثرهم مؤمنين وإن ربك لهو العزيز الرحيم وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم لا تدخلوا مساكن الذين ظلموا أنفسهم إلا أن تكونوا باكين حذرا من أن يصيبكم مثل ما أصابهم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Honorable ulama ikram, respected brothers and elders, I was reading one kitab in this week about lecturing, about orators, and about different orators in the annals of Islamic history. And I found a very beautiful quotation to which I could relate. There was a person who used to speak and lecture amongst people, yet he was fully aware about his weaknesses. So one day he was sitting, just silent, I guess just reflecting, contemplating, introspecting. So someone came to him and told him, Abu Uthman, give us some advice. He replied by saying, وَغَيْرُ تَقِيٍ يَأْمُرُ النَّاسَ بِالتَّقِيِّ طَبِيبٌ يُدَاوِي وَالطَّبِيبُ عَلِيلٌ وَغَيْرُ تَقِيٍ يَأْمُرُ النَّاسَ بِالتَّقِيِّ A person who lacks piety yet is advocating piety. In essence, it is like a doctor who is treating others yet he is sick himself. And that is exactly the sentiments that I can echo today. مَوَاعِذُ الْوَاعِذِ لَن تُقْبَلَ حَتَّى يَعِيهَا قَلْبُهُ أَوَّلًا يَا قَوْمْ مَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِنْ وَاعِذٍ خَالَفَ مَا قَدْ قَالَهُ فِي الْمَلَى أَظْهَرَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ إِحْسَانَهُ وَبَارَزَ الرَّحْمَنَ لَمَّا خَلَى The poet says, the advice of no lecturer can be beneficial until his heart does not absorb it before others. Can there be any person more unjust than that one who speaks about the greatness of Allah in public venues, yet contradicts himself in his private life and disobeys Allah? Respected brothers and elders, if we look at the sifat and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we find that one is the name of Allah, that is Ismazat, and the others are the qualities of Allah. قُلِ دُعُوا اللَّهَ أَوِ دُعُوا الرَّحْمَنِ قُلِ دُعُوا اللَّهَ أَوِ دُعُوا الرَّحْمَنِ أَيَّمَّا تَدْعُوا فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى Whether you say Allah or you say Rahman, these are different names of the same being. عِبَارَاتُنَا شَتَّى وَحُسْنُكَ وَاحِدُ وَكُلٌّ إِلَى ذَاكَ الْجَمَالِ يُشِيرُ Oh Allah, our expressions might differ, but I guess your beauty is one. Our expressions might differ. One of the many qualities of Allah Ta'ala is Haleem. What does Haleem mean? Allah Ta'ala is a forbearant being. Allah is one who perseveres. Who despite having the ability of punishing, penalizing, destroying, yet Allah withholds Himself. Allah does not react emotionally to situations. And Allah's quality of tolerance and forbearance knows no limits. Allah Ta'ala's grace, Allah's respite, Allah's clemency has allowed people to make the claims and the statements, ذَرُونِي أَقْتُلْ مُوسَى وَلْيَدْعُ رَبَّهُ Leave me alone, I'm going to kill Musa. And he can call his Allah and his Allah can do me nothing. Not that Allah condoned the statement, Allah's clemency gave grace and allowance to these statements. Allah's grace and Allah's forbearance allowed people to make statements to Nuh alayhi salam. قَالُوا يَا نُوحُ قَدْ جَادَلْتَنَا فَأَكْثَرْتَ جِدَالَنَا فَأْتِنَا بِمَا تَعِدُنَا إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Listen, Nuh, you have threatened us repeatedly regarding the chastisement of your Lord. We now openly challenge you and dare you, let us see what your Allah can do to us. Allah's tolerance, Allah's forbearance allowed the statements of Nadhr ibn Harith. إِن كَانَ هَذَا هُوَ الْحَقَّ مِنْ عِنْدِكَ فأمطر علينا حجارة من السماء أو ائتنا بعذاب أليم. That O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you claim to be the true prophet, we are openly violating what you say, as you have warned us that Allah is capable of sending down the sky to collapse on us. We now challenge you, do it and show it to us. So throughout the times and the ages, Allah Ta'ala gave such grace. When Allah gave this grace, man foolishly interpreted the grace as if Allah condoned the wrong he did. Well, we're doing what we're doing. I don't see any change in my life. I see no tragedies. I see no catastrophes. I see no setback. I doubt the Almighty has a problem with what I do. وَإِذَا جَاءُوكَ حَيَّوكَ بِمَا لَمْ يُحَيِّكَ بِهِ اللَّهِ وَيَقُولُونَ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ لَوْلَا يُعَذِّبُنَ اللَّهُ بِمَا نَقُولُ. The Yahud used to come and greet Nabi alayhi salam, and they never used to say assalamu alayk, they used to say assalamu alayk. May death come upon you, O Muhammad. In ambiguity of speech, not very explicit, using vague language, but of course Allah revealed their ulterior motives. Then they used to go on and say, if he was a true prophet, the Almighty would have punished us for invoking curses upon him. We repeatedly curse him, yet no tragedy comes upon us. I guess he's not a prophet. The words of the Quran, لَوْلَا يُعَذِّبُنَ اللَّهُ بِمَا نَقُولُ. Why doesn't Allah punish us for what we do? So a youngster meets another youngster, join us tonight. No, I don't go to such places. Hey, my friend, I'm going for the last 10 years. Nothing has happened, man. Nothing has happened. Like I was listening to this one American scholar, revered, mashallah, he spoke so beautifully. He says, brothers, when the children come of responsibility, age of responsibility, get them married. Otherwise, if you won't get them married, then he'll be looking and she'll be looking, and when mom and dad are not looking, they'll be hooking. Get them married. Otherwise, he'll be looking, she'll be looking, and when mom and dad won't be looking, they'll be hooking. What did the kuffar of Makkah say? وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا عَبَدْنَا مِن دُونِهِ مِن شَيْءٍ نَحْنُ وَلَا آبَاؤُنَا وَلَا حَرَّمْنَا مِن دُونِهِ مِن شَيْءٍ. They said, if Allah had a problem with what we did, he would have prevented us. Why hasn't he divinely stopped us? Allah himself says that he has given man choice. إِنَّ شَأْ نُنَزِّلْ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ آيَةً فَظَلَّتْ أَعْنَاقُهُمْ لَهَا خَاضِعِينَ. If we wanted, we could send down a clear-cut, convincing, compelling miracle, which will leave man with no choice but to accept. However, our wisdom did not opt for this. So Allah's grace and Allah's clemency allowed man, not that Allah condoned it, allowed man to do this. Man foolishly felt that he's got divine approval. Like it comes in the hadith, to give you another example, you have visitors at home, the children abuse the situation. Because they are visitors, they drive their parents to the limits, and the father, oh, no problem, my boy. And inside he knows what blood he's swallowing. Okay, just play with your cousin. And then he shows those big eyes occasionally. And he goes on doing. I remember once I was in London at one brother's place, and vividly I can picture how these children were actually irritating and intimidating the father, but I guess my presence was an obstacle for the father to discipline the child. How foolish will it be for this child How foolish will it be for this child to assume my action correct because my father is telling me nothing. So he drops the glass, he messes the paint, he takes out the toys he wasn't supposed to. He does everything that is unbecoming of him. And he feels, well, my father is saying nothing, so I don't think there is a problem. Allah himself says, oh man, you are doing such wrong. But I also have certain visitors. And because of those visitors, I'm not destroying you. Who are the visitors of Allah? لَوْلَا رِجَالٌ خُشَّ وَصِبِيَانٌ رُدَّ وَبَهَائِمٌ رُدَّ وَشُيُوخٌ رُكَّ لَصُبَّ عَلَيْكُمُ الْعَذَابُ صُبَّ لَوْلَا رِجَالٌ خُشَّ. Listen, humanity in its entirety, if it wasn't for those white bearded people, the words of the hadith, لَوْلَا رِجَالٌ خُشَّ وَصِبِيَانٌ رُدَّ, and those innocent children that have been suckled by their mothers, رَضِيع وَبَهَائِمٌ رُدَّ, and the innocent animals in the jungles, these are my visitors. If it wasn't for these categories, لَصُبَّ عَلَيْكُمُ الْعَذَابُ صُبَّ, never mind one tsunami, I would have poured my azab on you every moment of yours. These are my visitors, and because of them I have withheld my azab. But your every action justifies and provokes my anger. مَا أَحَدٌ أَصْبَرَ عَلَىٰ أَذًى مِنَ اللَّهِ يَدْعُونَ لَهُ الْوَلَدِ ثُمَّ يُعَافِيهِمْ وَيَرْزُقُهُمْ. There is none that is more tolerant and more forbearing than Allah. They associate partners unto Allah. Yet Allah sustains them, nourishes them and gives them help. So occasionally when we are very kind and faithful and passive towards our children, we need to hit them to say, hey, he mustn't think I cannot hit. I can show him I'm still in control. Occasionally Allah gives us a tsunami. And I think this word presently is symbolic to azab and symbolic to tragedies. And Allah brings about these natural occurrences in a diplomatic tone, which defies human intellect, which defies human logic, which contradicts scientific research, to prove that I am in control. Maulana Muhammad Umar Saab rahimahumullah nawwar Allahu marqadahu used to say, never mind when an earthquake takes place, that the earth is in Allah's control. It's not that the earth is out of Allah's control. He says, never mind humans, only that amount of ants will die in that earthquake, how much Allah has decided and decreed. Only that amount of ants, precisely to the proportion of Allah. So Allah sends about these situations. I was in Canada when the tsunami took place. And the next day I was hopping onto a flight to Amsterdam. So I took the paper as is routine and I just browsed through. I read an article, I guess it featured across the globe, and it took the front page of every newspaper. An article, and there was a woman whose words were reflected. And these were the words that she said, God, we did you nothing, why did you do this to us? Wal'ayyadu billah. We did you nothing, why did you do this to us? The calm oceans, the passive water, the wonderful breeze, the smooth ripples of the water. And when the order of Allah came, وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. When the fire will emerge from the oceans. وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ. When that innocent child who was buried alive, in present day terminology, who was aborted, will be given life. بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. What was the crime you committed that your parents mercilessly killed you? Allah speaks about what will happen to this water, how rough it will become. إِن يَشَأْ يُسْكِنِ الرِّيحَ فَيَظُلَلْنَ رَوَاكِدَ عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِ. In the center of the ocean, Allah says, I can cause the wind to stop, and you are now stationed, and you are mobile. You have been stationed, and you cannot move. You are not mobile, you've been jammed up. What happens to you at that time? رَبُّكُمُ الَّذِي يُزْجِي لَكُمُ الْفُلْكَ فِي الْبَحْرِ لِتَبْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ بِكُمْ رَحِيمًا. It is your Lord that causes the ship to sail in the water, Then Allah explains so beautifully. وَإِذَا مَسَّكُمُ الضُّرُّ فِي الْبَحْرِ ظَلَّ مَنْ تَدْعُونَ إِلَّا إِيَّا. Yet when you enveloped by a storm in the center of the ocean, and death surrounds you, and crisis around you, then you abandon all your false deities and you turn to one Allah alone. فَلَمَّا نَجَّاكُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ أَعْرَضْتُمْ. When He grants you deliverance from the rough waters, from the high tides, and He takes you to shore, أَعْرَضْتُمْ, you abandon Allah. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ كَفُورًا. If I may translate this in a simplified version, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ كَفُورًا, it's not the first time, you always do this. Then Allah says again, أَفَأَمِنْتُمْ أَن يَقْصِفَ بِكُمْ جَانِبَ الْبَرِّ أَوْ يُرْسِلَ عَلَيْكُمْ حَاصِبًا. When that happened to the water, so what happens? One brother said, now when I was in Cape Town, so he was telling me about, it was actually a company from Botswana that was there and they had a conference, so they invited us. So he says, I went for my holiday and I was at the ocean. And when this thing happened, I realized it. And from that day onwards, I caught my ears. I will never go back to the waters. So what does Allah say in this verse? أَمْ أَمِنْتُمْ أَفَأَمِنْتُمْ أَنْ يَخْسِفَ بِكُمْ جَانِبَ الْبَرْ. Do you think you only in His control when you're in the water? Don't you know this land also belongs to Him? This land also belongs to Him. أَنْ يَخْسِفَ بِكُمْ جَانِبَ الْبَرْ. If this is what the water can do, the land can do the same. It's His command. Or, أَمْ أَمِنْتُمْ أَنْ يُعِيدَكُمْ فِيهِ تَارَةً أُخْرَى. Or He can return you back into the water and bring back the same crisis upon you. So occasionally Allah Rabbul Izzat sends these situations to revive man, to awaken man. And Allah shows it to us as the Quran says, أَوْ يَأْخُذَهُمْ فِي تَقَلُّبِهِمْ فَمَا هُمْ بِمُعْجِزِينَ. Allah speaks of three forms of azab. That Allah can cause the earth to split and swallow them. أَوْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Or they will be seized by a torment from an angle they can least perceive. The ayat kareema that I recited before you, Allah speaks about a divine torment that came on the people of Aika. Aika means a place densely populated by trees, which was a nation to which Shuaib alayhi salam had been sent. And they were guilty of fraudulent deals in their commerce and their trade. Shuaib alayhi salam repeatedly encouraged them that obey Allah, but to no avail. Allah sent extreme heat upon them. Extreme heat. وَإِن كَانَ أَصْحَابُ الْأَيْكَةِ لَظَالِمِينَ فَانْتَقَمْنَا مِنْهُمْ وَإِنَّهُمَا لَبِإِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ. Extreme heat, that it became unbearable for the people to stay indoors. In the nearby locality, Allah sent a cloud. And from that cloud came a gentle breeze. Like Allah speaks of the nation of Aad. فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ عَارِضًا مُسْتَقْبِلَ أَوْدِيَتِهِمْ قَالُوا هَذَا عَارِضٌ مُمْطِرُنَا. As the cloud came, they said, here comes the cloud that will give us rain. Allah said, رِيحٌ فِيهَا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. No, in that cloud there is a wind which has been commanded to destroy everything. In Musnad Ahmad there is a riwayat, Nabi alayhi salam says that Allah says that if my servants feared me, لَمْ أُسْمِعْهُمُ الرَّعْدُ, never mind sending floods upon them, I would never let them hear the sound of thunder also. Recently we had severe thunder in our country, which was recorded to be the worst in 40 years. Allah titles one chapter in the Quran as Ra'd, only on thunder. يُسَبِّحُ الرَّعْدُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ مِنْ خِيفَتِهِ. Allah says that thunder also praises me. اللهم لا تقتلنا بغضبك ولا تهلكنا بعذابك وعافنا قبل ذلك. The dua on thunder, Nabi alayhi salam says, اللهم لا تقتلنا بغضبك. Allah, don't destroy me with your azab. ولا تهلكنا بعذابك. Allah, do not ruin me with your torment. وعافنا قبل ذلك. Grant me security before that azab comes. So Allah says, I would have not even made them hear the sound of thunder. In the nearby locality, Allah sent a cloud. From that cloud, there was a gentle breeze, which naturally attracted people. and people assembled and congregated and converged at this particular location. When they gathered, hastening towards their supposedly cool, gentle breeze. فَأَخَذَهُمْ عَذَابُ يَوْمِ الظُّلَّةِ Allah sent fire from that cloud and seized them all. They were overpowered by a gloomy cloud. إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ What they assumed, everybody that was sitting there, everyone was there on holiday, on recreation, on entertainment, on enjoyment, on pleasure. In this manner they were relaxing. And what happened the next day? What is the verses of the Quran? كَأَنْ لَمْ يَغْنَوْ فِيهَا أَلَا إِنَّ ثَمُودَ كَفَرُوا رَبَّهُمْ أَلَا بُعْدًا لِثَمُودَ أَلَا إِنَّ عَادًا كَفَرُوا رَبَّهُمْ Allah says, I destroyed people in such a manner as if individuals and nations of that name never existed. هَلْ تُحِسُّ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَوْ تَسْمَعُ لَهُمْ رِكْزًا Never mind talk or run or claim or boast. Can you even hear them whisper? رِكْزًا الصوت الخفي So respected brothers and elders, what I am saying is that Allah's level of tolerance, Allah's level of perseverance allows and gives grace and gives clemency for so much wrong to happen. Man foolishly interprets Allah's grace as if Allah condones the wrong he is doing. The topic of discussion has been titled, Are We Facing a Tsunami? Meaning, are we attracting an azab, if I may understand it correctly? We learn from the Quran and the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that never mind perpetrating a crime, never mind perpetrating a sin, the very thought of guna, the very thought of sin has destroyed people. Allah speaks about it in Quran, I will make mention. Allah speaks about in Surah Noon, about a father who was a very wonderful, pious man and had a beautiful garden and had a wonderful farm. He used to, every time it was time to harvest the crops, the old man had a wonderful habit that the poor people used to come, he used to harvest his crops, he used to give the poor people without taking any money from them, the remaining a portion for his family and the others he used to sell. In this way he was surviving with whatever Allah gave him. The beggars were getting some basic provision from him and his business was continuing. When the old man died, the children inherited the farm of their father and assumed they were intelligent. Let's have that in inverted commas, assumed that they were intelligent. And perhaps we are in control over the situation. And what did they say? فَانْتَلَقُوا وَهُمْ يَتَخَافَتُونَ فَانْتَلَقُوا وَهُمْ يَتَخَافَتُونَ أَلَّا يَدْخُلَنَّهَا الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِسْكِينَ They said, no, we have to do away with the practice of the old man. So what we do, we go early, very early in the morning. We harvest the crops. By the time the poor people come, there's nothing left. If they want, they must pay. In doing so, we will save ourselves so much. We will make so much money. You know, one day I was somewhere, I cannot recall. One brother told me a very nice thing. He says that this person sent his son to go and study and he became an accountant or perhaps he became an actuary and he returned. Then he looked at the finance of his father. He says, oh, my father, you know, the way you give in charity, I guess insolvency is on its way, bankruptcy is on its way, and very soon you will become a pauper. So the father told the son, listen, my boy, all your academic skills and competence is in its place. Let me give you some logical statistics. You tell me, you take a dog and you take a sheep. Which one gives birth more? When they give birth to two, three, sheep gives birth to one, perhaps maximum two, dog gives birth to many puppies at a time. Which one do we slaughter every year? Say, we slaughter sheep. What do you see more, sheep or dogs? What do you see more, sheep or dogs? So this is, leave it in your own place, in your own understanding. There is something like barakat which cannot be understood through an academic mind. It cannot be understood through this year. Many people assume that moving from one shop to another shop is barakat. Allah's Qasam, this is a deception and a delusion. Then I guess these chain stores have the biggest barakat. But their engagement and their engrossment, you look into their lives. I spoke about suicide recently. Some statistics. The world is supposedly progressing and not retrogressing. Yet they say, I read an article, the amount of Americans that plan suicide is more than those who die as a result of the five deadly diseases combined. The amount of Americans who plan suicide. There was an article just about 2 weeks ago in the Star, it was an anti-suicide week. Girls between the age of 16 and 19 plan suicide more than boys. Anyone under the age of 30, approximately 25 youngsters commit suicide in this country daily, that is the statistics. Which potentially will claim the lives of 7,000 people this year. So we were supposedly progressing, yet there is no more pleasure left in life. I read an article regarding Napoleon. In the latter part of his life, he took some stock taking of his life. He says, I can barely recall 6 happy days in my life. I can barely see 6 happy days in my life. So barakat comes with contentment, with inner joy and satisfaction. Anyway, this was the plan of the children. What was their plan? We will deprive youngsters. They took the reins of the business. We now in control. That is what Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, if you look at it, and you weigh the mentality of the youth of today, you listen to the arrogance of the youth of today, you listen to the haughtiness and the pride of the youth of today. Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam spoke to his son, Ya bunayya arkam ma'ana wa la takum ma'al kafirin. Listen my son, for today leave your logic and join me. I doubt anyone will be saved from Allah's azab. Listen to me. قَالَ لَا عَاصِمَ الْيَوْمَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِيمٌ. You know, you can actually see a fatherly discussion with his son. What's the response of the son? سَآوِي إِلَى جَبَلْ. No, I know something. My father, you don't know. There is a mountain which you haven't heard about. It's my hideout. I always hang around there with my buddies in today's terminology. I will take shelter on the zenith of that mountain. يَعْصِمُنِي مِنَ الْمَا. It will definitely protect me against the water. Again, the Nabi intervenes. Listen, my son, don't apply your logic. This is Allah's azab. وَحَالَ بَيْنَهُمَ الْمَوْجُ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ. Again, water. And you know, Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali writes so beautiful. When he speaks about the army of Allah, the tsunami we see in water, the earthquake we see, divine tragedies, as the Quran says regarding the time of Nuh alayhi salam, فَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ فَفَتَحْنَا أَبَوَابَ السَّمَاءِ بِمَاءٍ مُنْهَمِرٍ وَفَجَّرْنَا الْأَرْضَ عُيُونًا فَالْتَقَى الْمَاءُ عَلَىٰ أَمْرٍ قَدْ قُدِرٍ. We opened the water, yeah, only from the ground. Allah says, in the time of Nuh, we opened the water from the skies and from the earth. What will happen? The water from the top, the water from the bottom. وَحَالَ بَيْنَهُمَ الْمَوْجُ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ. What happens as the father and son are discussing, the water comes, separates the father from the son, and the son drowns. The son drowns. So Allah Ta'ala speaks about these youngsters. They planned. They planned that we're going to deprive. We're going to deprive these people. The only thought of a sin. In the night after they did this wrong plan and this plotting of theirs, and these youngsters felt that they were in control over the situation, Allah sent a divine fire and Allah destroyed that entire farm. And they still walking towards the farm, still planning, still planning. The Quran says, فَانْطَلَقُوا. They advance. وَهُمْ يَتَخَافَتُونَ. While they whisper and speak discreetly, تَخَافُتْ. أَلَّا يَدْخُلَنَّهَا الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِسْكِينَ. Ensure that no beggar comes close to us. Nothing. Nobody must come. They only planned depriving poor people of a charitable action of their late father, which was enough to attract the wrath of Allah and destroy this and reduce it to ruins. وَغَدَوْا عَلَىٰ حَرْدٍ قَادِرِينَ. When they arrived at that farm, Allah destroyed it in such a way, for a moment they thought perhaps we came to the farm of someone else, as the Quran says. فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهَا قَالُوا إِنَّا لَظَالُونَ. No, I think we made a mistake here. We were by someone else's farm. They then looked at the distance, their destination. They tried to locate their movements. They realized, we are not ظَالُونَ بَلْ نَحْنُ مَحْرُومُونَ. We have been divinely deprived. The younger brother sees the opportunity. I told you youngsters, قال ألم أقل لكم لولا تسبحون. I told you, rather take Allah's name. It wasn't the right thing for you to do. Don't get involved in this wrong company. Look at what is the outcome of it. But I guess it was too late. And then they repent to Allah, and Allah then favors them with another garden. What I am saying is that these actions that are continuing, these vices, these wrongs that are happening, Allah's clemency, Allah's grace, Allah's respite, Allah withholds His azab. Allah withholds His azab. People say sometimes something goes wrong, they say, hey, you know, today I must have done something wrong. My brother, not today, every day you've done something wrong. Only today Allah showed you a glimpse of what you're doing. You did something wrong and I did it. The riwayat comes in Ibn Majah and Abu Dawud. لو أن الله عذب أهل سماواته وأهل أرضه لعذبهم وهو غير ظالم. If Allah's decree comes to destroy everyone, this will be nothing but justice from Allah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, when zina will become common, when zina will become common, then that nation invites azab with its own actions. Now let us look around us today. Allah forgive, we deal with youth. Maulana spoke about the sin of drugs. What a great evil it has come and crept into society, destroyed and ruined our youth. Now we're facing a challenge on a different level that unfortunately, yesterday I was speaking to one very senior alim in Cape Town, and he was speaking about, wal-iyadu billah, the amount of Muslim youngsters that unfortunately have fallen prey and have become victim to the fitna of gays. وَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهِمْ مُصْبِحِينَ وَبِاللَّيْلِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Allah speaks about how you used to pass the nation of Lut. Now, you know, it is so sad that today everything has become a joke. And if you look at these SMSs, I say this, I don't mean to be obscene. Forgive me, but I want to mention this here. The other day, someone, I guess he was just sending this SMS as well. So he sends this SMS to me also. I don't know who he was. Very obscene. Now look at this here. What a tragedy. What a catastrophe the tsunami is. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا تدخلوا مساكن الذين ظلموا أنفسهم إلا أن تكونوا باكين. Don't ever enter the dwellings of a nation which have become a victim to divine wrath, but that you hasten your pace, lower your gaze and cry while walking through that locality. With the fear that perhaps you'll be struck with the same tragedy that came upon those that resided there once upon a time. The riwayat of Bukhari. So anyway, what is this SMS? You know, everything is a joke. Nowadays, there is actually, I heard a program recently, this laughing yoga. It's an exercise that they do. You have the milkshake laughter, you have a 1 mile laughter, and statistics prove that in 1950s, people used to laugh 18 minutes a day, now they laugh only 6 minutes a day. Why? Because every time someone laughs, you tell him, hey, it's not something to laugh about, get serious. So, get people into a laughing mood. So, any... recite Durud Sharif. Anyway, continuing, perhaps it wasn't the right thing to be said. Allahu alam. Recite Durud Sharif again, brothers. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. The SMS comes in the following way. Allah forgive. And I say this here just to understand how we trivialize such tragedies, such catastrophes, which stare at the entire world on a global level. What is the SMS? What is the similarity between a woman and a tsunami? Listen to this. What is the similarity? Forgive me. I don't want to say it, but I guess it is a forum where I'm addressing the youth. It is a forum and a platform where I'm addressing the youth, and I want to seize the opportunity. Allah forgive me, but I'm saying this only to understand how we trivialize and what attitude out of such a catastrophe. What is the similarity between the tsunami and a woman? When they come, the boat come wet and wild. When they come, the boat come wet and wild. Allah forgive me, brothers. When I, wallah, Allah be my witness, I erased this and in my heart, I cried. I shivered. I screamed. I said, Ya Allah, is this what we can deduce from such a catastrophe? Is this the message that goes around amongst our youth? And the Nabi of Allah says, لا تدخلوا مساكن الذين ظلموا أنفسهم إلا أن تكونوا باكين. Then let it be a moment for you to reflect, to introspect, to ponder. And on the reverse, these are the comments that you hear. I was reading an incident in a kitab called Makhzan-e Akhlaq of Maulana Rahmatullah Subhani on page 226, just day before yesterday I was reading this and I thought I'd share it with you. Maulana Rahmatullah Subhani makes mention of it in a kitab Makhzan-e Akhlaq on page 226. One day, on the authority of Mujahid Rahimahumullah, Mujahid Rahimahumullah says, one day we were sitting with Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, and then the discussion started regarding the virtues of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the virtues of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Brothers, keep focus. The virtues of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the virtues of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. When they spoke about Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu's eyes became moist and he started weeping, he started sobbing uncontrollably. People asked him, oh Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, what is the wisdom in your crying, in your tearing, in your sobbing? He says, you know Sayyidina Umar, I with my own eyes have seen an incident in his life. I will never forget and I respect him for that. Throughout my life, we know who Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was. He was such a person in Hayatul Sahaba, the riwayat appears. Nabi alayhi salam was sitting with his Sahaba and it told Sayyidina Umar, what will happen to you when you will be lowered into your grave and two angels will appear before you? Aswatuhuma kal-ra'di, absaruhuma kal-barqi, their voice like thunder, their sight like lightning. They will have a whoop in their hand. Lawijtama'a alayhi ahlu mina lam yutiqu raf'aha. If all the people of Mina try and lift it up, they won't able to lift it. But this angel will have it in his hand. لَوْ ضَرَبَاكَ بِهَا ضَرْبَةً تَصِيرُ بِهَا رَمَادًا. If they strike you once, you will become ashes. Sayyidina Umar said, O Nabi of Allah, just answer one question. When I will be in my grave and all this will happen, will I be in my senses? Nabi alayhi salam says, yes, you'll be in your senses. He says, O Nabi of Allah, then very calmly I will handle the situation. Very calmly I will handle the situation. Then in Hayatul Sahaba, Mullah Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali adds on a riwayat, وَزَادَ عَبْدُ الْوَاحِدِ فِي كِتَابِهِ التَّبْصِيرِ. Sayyidina Umar said this and he hardly barely took few steps and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, come back Umar. Then he said, Jibreel came to me now and told me that when you will be lowered into your grave and these angels will appear before you, then you will tell those angels, اللَّهُ رَبِّي فَمَنْ رَبُّكُمَا وَالْإِسْلَامُ دِينِي فَمَا دِينُكُمَا وَمُحَمَّدُ النَّبِيِّ فَمَنْ نَبِيُّكُمَا. Islam, I give you the reference of the hadith. Allah is my Lord, who is your Lord? You will tell the angels. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is my prophet, O angels, Munkar and Nakir, who is your prophet? And Islam is my deen, what is your deen? The angels will say, La nadri ursilna ilayka am anta ursilta ilayna. We don't know, has Allah sent us to question you or has Allah sent you to question us? Anyway, Sayyidina Umar Abdullah ibn Abbas says, we were sitting in Masjid al-Nabawi and in a discussion with Sayyidina Umar, when one woman came and she presented her child and she started sobbing. Sayyidina Umar said, pacify this woman, what's the problem? She said, I'm afraid and I feel ashamed to tell you the reality of this child. Sayyidina Umar said, no, come forward and tell me what is it. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was about to pass away, then he gathered everyone and he said that I want to make Umar in charge. What is your people's opinion? Everybody said, we are happy with him, only his sternness is a problem. His sternness. Subhanallah, what words Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said? He said, if that is the only problem, I have no doubt the burden of Khilafat will soften him. I have no doubt the burden of Khilafat will soften him. It will bring him down. If that is the only thing, that is why the ulama say Ibn Kathir, the riwayat is there. There were three intelligent people. There were three intelligent people. One was the minister of Egypt, who recognized the beauty of Yusuf and told his wife, وَقَالَ الَّذِي اشْتَرَاهُ مِن مِصْرَ لِمْرَأَتِهِ أَكْرِمِي مَثْوَاهُ عَسَىٰ أَن يَنْفَعَنَا. He recognized through his vision the integrity of this boy. He told his wife, take good care of him, he's a talented boy. The second was Sayyidina Shuayb alayhi salam, who recognized the talent of Musa and he presented his daughter in the wedlock of Musa alayhi salatu was salam. إِنِّي أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُنْكِحَكَ إِحْدَى ابْنَتَيَّ هَاتَيْنِ عَلَىٰ أَن تَأْجُرَنِي ثَمَانِيَ حِجَجٍ. I wish to wed you to one of my daughters by the name of Safura that you work for me for 8 years as dowry. There's difference of opinion amongst the scholars. If labor can serve as dowry, it's a topic of its own. And the third person that was an intelligent was Abu Bakr, who made Umar in charge at the time that he left this world. What a talented person, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Someone came to Umar and said, لَأَنْتَ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَبِي بَكْرٍ. You are better than Abu Bakr. Somebody tells us, we say, next time say it louder. What were you saying? Just 1 minute, come here please. Maaf, what were you saying? Yeah, subhanallah. Is that what we need to hear? Wallah brothers, if we look deep down in our hearts, and we look at who we are and how evil we are, I guess it is enough to bring that criticism right down. I read a very beautiful quotation. We tend to agree with everyone whose thoughts are in harmony with our inclinations, and we consider them to be true. We tend to agree with everyone whose thoughts are in harmony with our inclination, and we consider them to be true. And the opposite of that only provokes us, even if it be true. What deep words, what deep words. So Abu, what did Umar radiallahu anhu say? لَلَيْلَةٌ مِّنْ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَيَوْمْ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ عُمَرٍ وَآلِ عُمَرٍ. The riwayat is in Hayat al-Sahaba. لَلَيْلَةٌ مِّنْ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَيَوْمْ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ عُمَرٍ. You saying I am better than Abu Bakr? I'm afraid, just to set the records correctly, one night of Abu Bakr is better than Umar and his whole progeny. Abu Bakr, in Mishkat Jillatani, the riwayat is there. My mother's head was in the lap of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was a moonlit night. Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha glances to the heavens. She says, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, any of your companions has so many good deeds equivalent to the stars? Without hesitation, my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Umar. So she says, what about my father Abu Bakr? My Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّمَا جَمِيعُ حَسَنَاتِ عُمَرٍ كَحَسَنَةٍ وَاحِدَةٍ مِّنْ حَسَنَاتِ أَبِي بَكْرٍ. Mishkat Jillathani, the manaqib of Abu Bakr. All the good of Umar is like one good deed of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas says, this woman came, she presented her child. And then she started crying. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, pacify her. What is the matter? Ask her, what is the matter? She said, will you hear me out? Umar radiallahu anhu said, I will hear you out. I'm sorry to tell you, I've given you the reference of this year where I've come across it. I tried to make some further, reference to it from this kitab, but I couldn't find further reference. Nonetheless, it serves the message that needs to be conveyed. Your son Abu Shahma one day was intoxicated, and he came and he seduced me. And he committed the act of zina. And as a result of that fornication, I conceived. When the child was born, I was going to kill the child, but then my mother would overpower me and I kept the child. Out of shame that my nation will embarrass me and condemn me, I never took it up with the seniors of my family. But my guilt and my morality and my integrity pricks me and hurts me. And I have come to you, here I am, and this is the reality of your son. Please decide between us in the name of the Book of Allah. Allahu Akbar. What a daunting task. Anbiya alayhimus salam were tested on every front. Raising children in this time has taken a toll on every individual. Allah's qasam, no man is too learned, no man is too pious. It has taken a toll on every individual. You open my heart, and if I pour out my fears, and I pour out my anxiety, and my concern regarding my children, I guess you will take solace from my fears. Sayyidina Umar says, don't move from here. I'm coming back now. He goes back home. He says, Abu Shahma was eating. He says, oh my son Abu Shahma, eat that mussel, perhaps it be your last. Allahu Akbar. Oh my son Abu Shahma, eat that mussel, perhaps it be your last. When that woman Fatima Makhzumiya stole, and then they came to my Nabi and they said, tell Usama ibn Zayd, Hibbu Rasulillah, the riwayat of Bukhari, my Nabi was reclining alayhi salatu min Allahi wa taslimat. And then he said, O Nabi of Allah, Fatima Makhzumiya is guilty of theft. Perhaps if you can exempt her in relation to her profile and her noble personality and make some flexibility and concession in the matter. فَتَلَوَّنَ وَجْهُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. My Nabi's face started turning colors and he became pale. And he got up and he said, وَيْمُ اللَّهِ. Listen, listen. Have you ever studied the destruction of the previous nations? It was when they differentiated between the elite and the ordinary in implementing the orders of Allah. That was when the decline came in Bani Israel. وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ I swear by that Allah who is in charge of my life. لَوْ كَانَتْ فَاتِمَةْ بِنْتِ مُحَمَّدْ سَرَقَتْ لَقَتَعْتُ يَدَهَا Leave this Fatima, if my Fatima, I can speak for an hour comfortably inshallah on who Fatima was in the life of Nabi alayhi salam. How much my Nabi loved her, how dear she was. My Nabi sallam said, I read the riwayat myself, my Fatima is so close to me and she is so modest that when she will stand up on the day of Qiyamah, an announcer will announce, O people, lower your gaze, Fatima wants to cross. Every man will be compelled to drop his gaze and the queen of the woman of Jannat will then walk. My Nabi said, if this Fatima steals, I will chop her hands. Let the world know the order of Allah will prevail even at the cost of the hands of the daughter of the beloved of Allah. Ideal concession when it comes to ourselves. Where is adl in our life? Qadi Shuraih, one of the greatest chief justices in the annals of Islamic history. He seen people abusing their woman. What did he say? رَأَيْتُ رِجَالًا يَضْرِبُونَ نِسَاءَهُمْ رَأَيْتُ رِجَالًا يَضْرِبُونَ نِسَاءَهُمْ فَشُلَّتْ يَمِينِي حِينَ أَضْرِبُ زَيْنَبَا أَأَضْرِبُهَا مِنْ غَيْرِ ذَنْبٍ أَتَتْ بِهِ فَمَا
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.